You, Lord. God, I pray for those hearts right now, Lord, that you're causing to tick a little faster, thump a little more. God, I pray right now that you would draw them to yourself. You would draw them, Lord, to your throne of grace, where they can find help right now in this time of need in their life. That they can call upon the Savior of Saviors and declare that his name is the one that they trust in for salvation. And because of that, Lord, you'll flood them with your love. You'll transform them and change them. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your unmerited favor.
24/7 prayer week. So, let's see, who could hand these out? Can you hand them out to those who... You'll take one, okay. Who needs a prayer sheet that doesn't get emails? Oh, okay. Everybody's showing who doesn't get emails here, so... There you go. Praise the Lord. And if you'd like to grab one of these sheets just to see what 24/7 prayer is about, feel free. It's a citywide ministry that started about 2 years ago, and we almost have the month completely full now with churches and ministries that are praying for the Yakima Valley 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. How many know that prayer changes things? It changes things. And so, actually, crime has gone down in our city. Praise the Lord, huh? Amen? 911 calls have gone down in our city. Some would say, well, that's a coincidence, Pastor. They've gone up in other cities. But we're praying here in Yakima, and we're believing that as God hears us cry out for our city, cry out for a move of God that only He can bring, a move of deliverance, a move of grace, move of healing to people's hearts, that the city's being changed. So if you would like to join our 24/7 prayer, you can come up and see me afterwards, and I will assign you one of our one-hour times. It's this Friday from 12 a.m. You don't have to get up at 12 a.m., but to 11:59 p.m., and we cover the entire 24-hour period on first Friday of every month, and that's what Church on the Move does. Then many other ministries cover other days. So, praise the Lord. Turn with your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. It's only 16 verses. I'm going to read all the way through it once. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to remind everyone here, or tell those who are hearing this, because some people say, wow, you must have worked a long time on that. This was like given to me this morning. So this is not, I haven't worked a long time on this, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to preach it. All I know is that I believe God's going to set some people free and allow them to be in His rest today. Title of the sermon, I actually have a title. It's called Work Hard to Rest. Work hard to rest. Hey, it's biblical. So verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest. Excuse me. For we who have believed do enter that rest. That would be important. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's talking about the children of Israel who were stranded in the wilderness for 40 years. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, pick that up. That the works of rest have been finished from the foundation of the world. That's powerful, because the foundations of the world is like the very beginning, before he created, you know, Adam and Eve and all the plant. We're talking about his rest was a finished work before the foundations of the world. Why is that? Yeah. Yeah, I think some people are going to get some revelation here too. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. Everybody say today. So what is today? Today. Today is today. Today isn't, you know, however many years ago Paul most likely wrote Hebrews. Today is today. Right? I want you guys to get that. For today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest. Now, real quickly, he's talking about that they had not entered his rest, those people who were stranded in the wilderness for 40 years, wandering around because of disobedience. But now he's saying, but if Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, supposedly signifying that they were finally entering into God's rest. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, now if you guys haven't read your Bible in a while, you just covered a chapter during church. Well, go figure. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Where do I begin, Lord? Well, let's start with prayer. Lord, we thank you, God, that you encourage us to work to enter into your rest. And Lord, you would not ask us to do that. You would not request that of us if it was not possible. And Lord, we know that you have a rest for us as your people. And Lord, we know that that rest is a place of ceasing from striving, ceasing from toiling, ceasing from working up a sweat, all to receive what we already have. So Lord, I pray today that those hearing my voice would enter into a new level of the rest of God, would work to enter into your rest. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So I could go from the very beginning, but I just kind of wanted to lay a foundation. Let's go ahead and start right around verse, where does it say today? Oh, verse 7. We'll start at verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day in David. Today. Say it with me again. Today. 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 I believe today, God, this day that he's made, and we've rejoiced already, have been glad in it, he wants us to enter into a rest that he has for us. He wants us to enter into a place where we look at ourselves as finished. See, because remember it says that from the foundation of the world, what did it say? He finished this rest. So what else happened at the foundation of the world? Can anybody else tell me? Jesus was what? Crucified. Jesus was slain. So just as Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, or before the foundation of the world, so God's rest is there in Christ. I don't want to go too far. So I go too far, I'm going to try to have to backtrack. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, hear his voice, hear his voice. How many of you are hearing the voice of the Spirit speak to your heart? Maybe it's been for a couple years now. Maybe it's been for many years. But speaking to your heart that God is up to something. That God's working in his people. That what we saw before was good. There was nothing wrong with it. But that it was almost in a way a shadow of really what he wanted to do in us. Where we were, at least for me, myself, I like to put myself in this picture, where I was doing all these things right. And because I was doing them, I was right. I was good. But when I didn't do something right, guess what? I wasn't right. Tilt. And I would go, oh man, I didn't do that right. Oh, I'm so bad. And I mean, I would go through all these things in my internals about why I did that and how I'm not going to do that again. And it was this battle all the time. But Holy Spirit, over the past few years, has been revealing truth to me. He has been opening my eyes from the Word of God. Not just like, you know, speaking in the air. We have to use the Word of God as our instruction. We have to use the Word of God as our foundation for everything that we believe. So this is all from the Word that I'm speaking. It's right here. So what we have here, we have a vessel that lived a certain way, did things a certain way, expected certain results. And when I didn't get them, guess what? Who did I blame? Myself. And as I've taught, I think a few times now, is that there's a part of me that isn't me. And that's my sin nature. And that's what messed up. But guess what would happen? Because of my sin nature, old Mike Lindell right here, the righteousness of God, because I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, what's it say? You guys know. If anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So here's this new vessel, new creation. Righteousness is mine, because it's not my righteousness. Guess whose? It's Jesus. But I would have these issues. Sin would come up, and it would rear its ugly head. And it would activate in my life. Maybe sometimes it's because something I saw, something I did, something I actually participated in. Maybe a way that I thought about somebody else. It could have been anything. I mean, the thing is that Holy Spirit's the one who convicts us of sin. The Bible's very clear about that. The Holy Spirit's the one that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So when I had a conviction of sin, that was to lead me back to God. But this wasn't conviction. This was condemnation. This was like, you're no good. You're pond scum. You're a punk. God doesn't even want to look at you. And that's not Holy Spirit. How many know that's not Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, when we fall, says, you know what? I know you messed up, but you know what? Jesus, the righteousness of God is in you. Holy Spirit, I'm in you. And guess what? Because of that, you're not like that. That's not who you are. That's the way God spoke to me. But I had to like finally remove all the cobwebs before I would start receiving that truth. So here I am, last few years, Holy Spirit's revealing truth. One of the things that Jesus spoke to me very clearly, he says that you will know the truth will make you free. Well, what I thought the truth was going to do was finally get to figure out how to manage this sin so I could be free, so I could live free. So yeah, tell me the truth of how to manage this sin. And no, what the truth has been telling me is like, you're not that. You're a new creation. The truth has been saying the enemy has been lying to you. He's been putting deception upon you. He's been putting schemes and a conspiracy against you so that you won't know who you are. You'll think you're somebody else. Because of that, guess what? I think I'm somebody else. What do I act like? Says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I think I'm somebody else, guess what? I'm somebody else. But if I think, oh, dare I think, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, as I'm starting to think, as I'm starting to say, guess what? As I'm thinking in my heart, ooh, the righteousness of God? Dare I say that? Yeah, because God says it about me. You know what? When he says it about you, you can say it about you too. Even if it makes your mind go, you can't say that. Look at that stuff you've done. No, Jesus says, no, Father, he has not done that because my blood is covering that vessel. That's not who he is. He's me. Oh, come on. Today there's a rest for us as the people of God. Not tomorrow, not 5 years from now, not when we go in the old by and by. Yes, that will be an ultimate rest. But today there remains a rest for us to enter into as the people of God. I got it out. Without spitting, too. That's good. Give me time, though. I'm getting fired up. So, front row. Maybe a couple back. Bill's like, oh, can't tell you what, I'll move back. So listen, here we go. It has been said today, if you will hear his voice. Holy Spirit, we want to listen to your voice. God, your word, let it ring so true in our hearts. Let it burn in us like a fire, just as the hearts of those men burned as they walked on the road of Emmaus with you. Lord, let our hearts burn, Lord, with your voice, God, that it is such a voice that we cannot ignore it. It is such a voice that we cannot dismay it, Lord. We can't put it off to the side. We can't say it doesn't exist, Lord, because your voice is so loud. Lord, let your voice ring in our hearts like that today. Truth, God, let your truth make us free. It says that today, if you will hear his voice, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. So listen, there remains a rest for us. And I believe that when he wrote that, he's trying to get people to enter into something that is there for us. That is possible. It's possible what I'm about to say. Because when I say it, your flesh, your religious spirit, the things that you've heard before are going to say, that's not true. I'm just telling you because I have it go off in my head all the time. That's not true. And I say, well, no, the word says it. That's not true. That's not what you've been told. I do it pretty good, don't I? Oh, man, you should hear me sometimes. Get behind me. I sound like, you know, me, myself, and I. Get behind me. You can't come around here. You know, it's like, you know, someone's going to think I've lost my mind. I have. I'm getting the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I told you I messed up. And we're just starting, so I mean, thank you, Jesus, for renewing our mind. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he. Say she. I'm not going to have you women exclude yourself. For he or she who has entered his, capital H, rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Okay, now listen to that. Did you listen to that? For he or she, I'm going to read it again. You've got to get this. Let me tell you, Hebrews 4:12, my favorite verse, one of them, you know, I've got like five or six. That is, I mean, that's up there in the top, you know, echelon. I don't know how many times I've preached that under different, I love it so much I preach with different titles so I can keep preaching it because it's so powerful. But I'll tell you what, I always preached it out of context. Out of context. And it was powerful. Wait till I preach it in context like I am right now. It's good. It's good. Trust me. For he himself. Let me read it again because I'm getting too excited. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Listen, this managing, this, you know, this trying to figure things out, this make me free so that I can do things on my own to fix myself. It's saying right here, he's who has entered his rest. I've entered it. I'm now going to cease from my own works. I'm just going to receive his righteousness. And I'm going to say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, I believe that. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, coming down off of his high and lofty place to a low place, my place. And he looked at me and he says, you know what? Mike Lindell, that's not who you are. Here's my righteousness. And I went, whoa. Remember when I was first saved? I went, whoa. What happened? Things that I used to want to do, I didn't even have an interest for. I'd be going down the road listening to music, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what's this music? Eject, phew, out the window. Because it wasn't me. That guy who was listening 2 weeks before, he's gone. I'm like, that's not what I like anymore. And back then, it was pretty lame music, believe me. I was a rocker. And all they had was like Dallas Holmes, and it took me a while before I even found Petra. But you know what? I said, okay, Lord, if this is what music is like in the kingdom, I'll listen to it. And then, thank the Lord, guys got saved who needed to get saved, who knew how to play music and rock. And thank you, Lord. I'm just being honest here. I have hearing issues that God's got to heal because I used to jam so loud. Just like Jesse, you know? Right? For he who has entered his rest, he or she who has entered his rest. Folks, you know what? When you receive Jesus Christ, you know what you do? You enter his rest. You enter his rest. You enter his rest because there's nothing left to do. Remember Jesus? What does he say on the cross? It is final. What does that mean? It's final. It's finished. It means it's finished. Someone say, well, you know, Jesus still had to raise from the dead. Yes, but the work, the blood being shed, the crucifixion that we needed to stand right before God was finished. When he rose from the dead, you know what that meant? We can now rise in this new life. We can live this truth. We can be the righteousness of God. But when he died on the cross, it was a finished work. Why are we then trying to do all these things to make ourselves righteous when he says we're righteous? And getting headaches and stomach aches and all this stuff, you know, getting dizzy in the head trying to do it because it's impossible. Did you know that? It takes faith to please God. It's impossible to please God in your own works. And somebody say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm not trying to do it in my own works. I would have said the same thing. Well, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to be holy. Oh, really? You're trying to be holy? That's what I would say. I mean, I just had to start listening to myself when I was rebutting myself in my head. Well, no, that's not what you were doing, Mike. You were doing this. It was like, and then I go, wait a minute. You just said, I, my, ye. What about he? What about what he did? What about what he says? Does that not count for anything? It better count for everything. It better be what we hang our hat on. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest. Now, I'm going to just do something here for a moment so that you can say that my message wasn't a true title. King James. Right here. Let us labor or work, therefore, to enter that rest. That's what I said. We need to work to enter rest. We need to work to rest. Now listen, that is an oxymoron. You guys know what an oxymoron is? It means that it's saying one thing, but then saying another thing at the exact same time. You know, we have a lot of Christian oxymorons. Because in Christianity, I'm dead. but I'm also alive. I'm dead to my old nature, my old sins, but I'm alive to God. Is that truth? So I'm dead, but I'm alive. I mean, I could go over many of them, but let's just focus this one for a moment. Work to enter his rest. Be diligent. Purposefully enter his rest. What does that mean? That means it's not easy to stay in his rest. Why? Because our flesh wants to do it. Our nature says, I've got to have some kind of, you know, props for this. I'm gonna have something that I can say, I did it. And the more you say, I did it, the less power you will have over sin. Did we not kind of start dabbling in that last week a little bit? The more you will to do good, guess what's present? Sin. It says, oh, really? You're after your own way. Well, guess what? I can come alongside now. And believe me, sin's really good at following us. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. You know, I was saying, for the longest time, I was thinking that those old Israelites, they just never got it. God, if I would have been there, I would have got it. I would have got it. See, I'm just horrible. But they just didn't get it. They saw your glory. They saw your majesty. You know, you parted the Red Sea. You had thunder and lightning and the mountain quaked and still they're going to like do this calf thing. He said, they never learned something, son, that I'm all they need. And I realized that that's where I was chasing. And I got away from this. All I need is him. God plus nothing. God plus nothing. I always thought that it required going to church. Yes, I'm in church. I'm here. And I don't think there's any Sunday that I'm just going to quit coming. Because God has entrusted me with your hearts and entrusted you with my heart. So we're a family and we're growing in this thing together. But I'm here to tell you, going to church is not it. I said it. Going to church is not the end all. Making him all is all it takes. Now, I believe when you make him your all, you'll want to be with family. It's just a natural thing. Right? Isn't it nice to be with family? Isn't it nice to hang with family? Amen. I love getting together with my family. It's the highlight of my week, anytime I get to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is. And I mean, I get up early on Sunday mornings. You think like, why does he keep getting up early? It's because I just want to fill myself as much with God so I can pour some out on you. You know, if there's any weakness, any lack in my life, I don't want it to be evident. So I just spend time listening to him. But you know what? If I got up like at 5 till 10, just before prayer, and came here in my pajamas still, you guys would love me, wouldn't you? Be very weird. But anyway, the point being is I'd still be with family. I couldn't, you know, if I said, I'm just going to stay home and sleep. There's no way I would be drawn to be here with family. I'm off. Off rabbit trail. Squirrel. All the guys from Transform. Squirrel. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience. What was their example of disobedience? They didn't think God was enough. They didn't think he was going to meet their needs. They didn't think that they were going to survive when his presence came. They were just scared. They were in fear. Ooh, bondage again to fear. Fear is a bondage. Fear is a bondage. Whether it's the fear of man, the fear of God that is an unhealthy fear is definitely a bondage. If you think God's mad at you and he's just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can crush you like a bug, then that fear right there puts you in a bondage that you cannot receive the love of God. My God sees sparrows fall. My God has my hair numbered. Now you try to figure that one out. because I can't even count them. They're there, believe me. I shave them every now and then. But I mean, I couldn't even count them if I wanted to. But he knows every hair, every morning when I shave. I'm just telling you like it is. Is that not love? That he cares about hair? Come on. I know it's funny, but this is serious stuff, because we hear this and it never sinks into our heart that God is so big that he cares about hair, because it was on you. And you are a vessel that he loves. I'm a vessel that he loves. We are a treasure to him. We're not trophies on some shelf that he's acquired. We're children that he gathers around his throne and embraces with love. We're not trophies. We're treasures. He aches every time we ache. He does. He's touched with who we are and what we suffer. Now listen to this. I told you, 12 is good. Oh man, 12:15 is pretty good too. It's hard to stop. Last week I just said, okay, that's it. And you guys are like, when can we do it again? Next week. I got to scoot up. I'm getting excited. Okay, this is my favorite verse. Like one of five. Okay, four. Four, the word of God is living and powerful. So listen, four. That is meaning that is, and I mean, I would read before it and I would say, I'm not going to preach on that. Because I wouldn't have that in my heart. I didn't understand that rest stuff. I thought it was going to be heaven. I thought he's talking about some kind of stuff that I just couldn't relate to at the time. But tell you what, man, today I am relating to it. And I'm here to tell you that if you will let the word of God, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, it's alive and it's active, and you let it penetrate deep inside of you. Now we're talking about a reason to read the Bible. You get this in your heart, and it's going to literally divide this battle inside of me. My old soul that's sitting here going, well, what about that? That's not right. But my spirit says, yes, you are a child of God. You listen, soul. Listen to this word. We're agreeing. You're under. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Ever able to divide between soul and spirit. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, that's the whole issue right there, heart issue. What is in your heart? We need the word of God to come in us and say, oh, look it, you're not the child that I want you to be. Not, oh, you've got this sin and it's so hard for me to deal with you looking like it. That's the way I thought. Man, you look really bad today. Can you go clean up before you come and talk to me? I'm just being real. Because you start reading the word, and if you read the word out of judgment, if you read the word out of works, guess what you see? A mess. But if you read the word out of love, you read the word out of truth, you read the word out of redemption and righteousness, you see life. You see God. Someone was speaking this week at a meeting, and I was so blessed because revelation came when he said it. And you need to dwell on this because this is powerful. Someone said, what do you picture when you see Jesus? What do I picture when I see Jesus? My head, my imagination, what do I picture? And he couldn't think of it. So later on when he was speaking to us, he said this, well, I've been thinking about it and the only thing that I could picture is me. I said, whoa. 1 Corinthians 13. We look into a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Listen, why we're not like Jesus is because we do not realize that we're supposed to see him when we look in the mirror. Listen to that again. Why we don't look like Jesus is because when we look in the mirror, we see our old self. Let me try it over here. Why we don't look like Jesus? Because when we look in the mirror, the real mirror, we don't see Jesus. We see that sin, ugly nature. But when we gaze into the word of truth, guess what? We start to see him for who he is. Then next time we look in the mirror, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. you are righteous. You need to say that to yourself. You need to say that to each other. You need to look at husbands and wives, children, say it to your parents. Parents, say it to your children. Look them in the face. Hold them in the face. You are righteous because God says so. Not because you act like it, but because God says you are. And that's more important than acting like it. Did you hear that? Because God says you are is more important than anything you will do. Because if you believe what God says about you, you will live like God says about you. Pretty wild, isn't it? I know. It'll mess you up. I see it in his eyes. Every now and then my head flutters. It's like, oh my goodness. And to think, you know, I don't know how many times I read the Bible, absorbed it into my being. But the lie of the enemy, the lie of the religious spirit, the lie of condemnation and guilt and shame kept me from seeing who God made. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not in our house, not in this house, not when I interact with people. I mean, I can tell you, it's truth. Had somebody come to prayer last night? Old nature me. We got to get them in church. I'm just telling you, that's what I thought. We got to get them to church. They get to church, they're going to be okay. Really? I don't know. I see some pretty messed up people in church sometimes. So I don't think getting him to church is the answer. No, getting him to the Father, getting him to the Son, getting him to the one that loves them, the one that chased them down through odd text messages that messed up. That's who they need. Now, if they come, we'll embrace them. But let's love first. Let's be Jesus to people first before we think we got to corner the market on attendance in a church on Sunday. Come on. Just being real. I'd rather have 1,000 people out there that have received the love of God that never come in this building than 200 people or 250 people that can't receive it. Is that not truth? It's hard, but it's the truth, and we've got to face the truth. Because if we face the truth, we'll be made free. Come on, this is real. This is life or death. This is freedom. This is the difference between the light and the darkness. Us being a light to this lost and dying world or being the same darkness that they are. Because they're in condemnation and so are we. Wow, what message can we bring them? God will help you if you let him help you. Instead of, you don't have to remain that way. Because you're not ever designed to be like that. God sent his Son to be your righteousness. Just receive it and walk in a newness of life. That's a transforming message. And that's the truth. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you that you're wrecking me. Yep. You're doing it. I'm not doing this to myself. Now, Lord, I ask that you continue to wreck me. Continue to wreck me so much that I don't look anything like what I used to be. But I look like Jesus. I act like Jesus. I love like Jesus. I bring grace and mercy to others like Jesus. Father, you're such a good dad. You are such a good dad. Back in July, I had no idea even what that meant. But every day, in a new way, you show me you're my dad. You're my papa. You love me so much that you gave me Jesus. You gave all of us Jesus. Jesus, you laid down your life so that I might live, so I might know the truth. I don't want to be like Nicodemus, came to you at night and knew you were from God, knew you had the power of God, but missed being born again from a father in heaven. Yeah, he had Abraham as his father, but you wanted to be his father. You wanted to be his daddy. Lord, I pray for every heart here right now that longs for the heavenly Father, that longs to be accepted and loved, that longs to see this world through God's eyes. Maybe those who've been there once before received the grace and love of God, but got caught up in trying to do it in their own way. Lord, I pray that freedom would come, grace and mercy would come, love would permeate any darkness. And God, you get the praise, you get the glory, you get the honor. I boast in the cross of Christ, because that's why I can stand here righteous. I boast in the cross of Christ, because that's why I can be a son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let your will be done in all of our lives. Let your kingdom come. Let's believe the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Josh wants to do something. I forgot. Share this mic? Oh, sure. Oh.
Amen. Who receives that?
Down.
Huh? Yeah, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for the iPad.
Thank you.
Yep. God is good. That's all I can say. God is good. God
Amen.
Is good, and that's an understatement. That's for lack of better words. Before we end the service, I just want to say that this is hard to transition this, but I have to do this. Most of you are aware of why I'm standing up here right now. However, a couple of us are not, and I just want to bring that out. You may not be aware. Most of you are. About 90% of you are. Could you guys come here for just a quick sec?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Your mic's still on. You might want to turn it off. These two are lovely pastors and my personal dear friends. And these two have served this congregation. And I know this is a tough one to do, especially after a word like that, from the Lord. But I can't not do it. I got to tell you, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, okay? And in Pastor Appreciation Month, the only way that I even knew it was Pastor Appreciation Month because my pastors gave me a card, and my wife and I, that said, thank you. And I'm like, oh, what's this? So I read it, and I was blessed to get it. And I told you guys that. I love you guys a lot. And I had to outdo them once I was aware. I was like, oh my goodness, they're not going to beat me at this. So we got together as a congregation and we just threw some I love you notes and whatnot in here. And this is a very small token of our expression of our appreciation. And we love you guys. And I'm thankful for how the Lord is moving through you guys and how you guys are surrendering yourselves so that all of us can have somebody that we consider worthy on this earth to follow. And you set an awesome example. And you guys, I believe in your hearts, you know that because you know who your God is. Huh? So I just want to pray. And I just want to pray a blessing. If you will just reach out your hand and agree with me here. Father, we are thankful, God, for these servants that you have allowed us. Yes, Lord, we understand that it is by your love and your grace and your mercies that we have them in our lives. Yes, it is by you, Jesus, and your work that they're able to be who they are. And so for that, we thank you. We acknowledge the son and daughter that you have in these two, God. And just every step that they take, God, let it be directed by you. Father, let nothing, God, that the enemy has planned, Father, nothing prevail, Father, but everything that you have planned for them will come into full action. Lord, we thank you for the promises. We thank you for this couple, God, and let their hearts be protected and led by you every day of their life, God. Let the revelation of God through Jesus Christ continue to pour out upon them, Father, and through us. Let them have many years, Father, many years blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh. Potluck downstairs. for the next celebration, which is the 50th anniversary of Ken and Phyllis. And so if you'll join us downstairs, we're going to celebrate that. Thank you.